Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Well, happy Sunday, everyone. Today, we had a gorgeous, gorgeous spring day here in Connecticut. It was beautiful outside. So I pray that wherever you are, you had a blessed day, too, that you're able to get some yard work done and spend some quality time with your family. I want to encourage you to text, tweet, or even call some of your friends and ask them to join us. I want to welcome the people who are already in the chat room. If you have a question at any time, feel welcome to jot it in the little box below, or you are welcome to call in to ask your question or make a statement, and you may do so by calling 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166. And if you have not yet done so, I want to encourage you to follow me on Twitter, at Dynamic Daphne, on Facebook.com, Dynamic Daphne. And for those of you who are looking to donate towards my breakfast feeding program for the students at the Carmel Elementary School, you may do so by visiting http://gofundme.com/1G4M38. And I just want to thank all the people who have already donated. We are up to a whopping $617. And remember, for every $5 that you donate, you will be providing breakfast for 3 students per day.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I wanna be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
Well, today we will be talking about a father's legacy, a daughter's legacy. A father turns his daughter's special needs into her legacy. And I want to read something briefly for you. Amber's Smile is an industry leader in the design, development, and distribution of unique adaptation of the increasingly popular tote bag. The inspiration for this unique company was Amber L. Ross, a girl who, during the course of her short life, was diagnosed with epilepsy, cortical blindness, I'm not sure what, I'll just spell that word for you so I don't mispronounce it, S-C-O-L-I-S-I-S, scoliosis, and developmental delay. Although she was nonverbal and wheelchair-bound, formation for Amber's smile was inspired by her enduring love for life's simplest pleasures. Amber would always smile brightly in the pleasure of the people and things that pleased her. What, and this is her way of sharing that everlasting smile in her own special needs. And this is her way of sharing that everlasting smile to help others, other special needs children and adults. Our mission is to play a role in providing meaningful employment and opportunities to adults with disabilities. Our motto, brightening the path for society's most vulnerable. And I tell you, I just hope that as I bring Amber's father on, Mr. Jim Ross, on the line, I just pray that his sharing of his daughter's story will touch your life just as it did when I heard this story. There are many of us in this life who we are dealt lemon, and society sometimes do their best to prevent us from making lemonade with our lemon. But I was so excited when a colleague of mine, Mrs. Ginny Davis, shared the story of her niece to me, so much so that I decided to bring her father on to share about his legacy. So I want to encourage you to sit back. I want to encourage you to use the phone lines, call in and ask questions or make statements of remarks that will be able to encourage this family. Mr. Ross, are you there?
Yes, I am, Daphne.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come and share your story and Amber's story with the rest of the world. I wanted to briefly tell people who you are prior to Amber's arrival into this world.
Prior to Amber's arrival in this world, I worked for my father, who owned a real estate company and a construction company and a few bars in the Pittsburgh area. I did that ever since I had gotten out of college in 1974, and everything was going along real good. We were making a living. We were doing what we could for Pittsburgh at that time.
And what happened? You were excited about having, was Amber your first child?
No, Daphne. I had previously had a son, Jason, in 1977, mm-hmm. and a daughter, Crystal, in 1981.
Right.
So we were happy that we were having a third child. February 19th, 1991. We were happy mm-hmm. to have Amber arrive.
Right. So you were super excited about getting ready to receive your third child in this world. And what happened, you realized that this bundle of joy was also a special gift that is going to take more of your time, more of your love, and probably you were a bit surprised, or you knew ahead of time what to expect.
No, we did not know ahead of time what to expect. And when Amber came into this world, she only weighed 2 pounds and 5 ounces. They really did not expect her to live. They had pulled us to the side and gave us some conversation on that.
Mm-hmm,
so she was
mm-hmm.
she was in the ICU for 2 months until we got her up to 5 pounds in order to take her home.
Wow. Wow. 2 months and up to 5 pounds. So that means daily trips to the hospital and some overnight visits. And during those turbulent times, what was happening with the family?
The family stood behind us. My wife and I all have both large families, and everyone stood behind us. They gave us support. They came past the hospital. My wife and I were living, as you said, at the hospital
mm-hmm.
at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I was staying over. And she was staying all day so that Amber was never alone.
Yes.
And if not one of us, one of her sisters or my brother or someone was always there with Amber.
I can imagine while some were staying at the hospital, others were praying and everything, because I am sure what has happened in your life is what I refer to as a miracle, because I am sure at 2 pounds, 5 ounces, the doctors, they weren't encouraged. Were they giving you encouraging words that she's going to be living for a while?
At first, they were not. However, they did not know Amber. Amber Amber fought back. She picked up that 5 pounds in about
mm-hmm.
2 months. And we were able to take her home.
Wow. Wow.
Which is where the problem started at then.
Mm-hmm. So you took her home at 5 pounds, and, of course, she started growing, and people will hear later on what time and how long Amber lived for. But as she went home and you took her back for her visits, and then you began to get the news?
She started having seizures. This was something new to my wife and I, because we had never been around anyone who had seizures. And she
yes.
was having grand mal seizures with myoclonic jerking.
Uh-huh.
So the hospital put her on a anticonvulsant drug, one after another, trying to slow her seizures down.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes she would have upwards of 22 seizures in a day.
My heavens. And how old was she at this age?
Amber was still 1 year old. She was under 1 year old.
Oh, my heavens. Oh.
And they were trying to find a drug. It's very hard trying to find a drug. You have to shop with everyone is different until you find
yes.
something that suppresses the seizures.
And for
such a
young child.
Oh, yeah. The only drug they found was one of the oldest and heaviest sedated drugs on the market at that time, and that was phenobarbital.
Oh yeah, phenobarbital. I used to work as a nurse, and when you mention about the grand mal seizures, I say, oh my heavens, I bet they were putting that baby on phenobarbital, because it's like the Bible for seizures, you know. You can't talk to them about trying something else. That's what they are going for.
Exactly. So they put her on phenobarbital. However, Amber was always asleep, it seemed like to us.
Mm.
Because the phenobarbital is, as you said, one of the strongest medications out there in an anti-seizure drug. And she was always asleep.
Always
so
sedated.
We had to find something.
So was she awake enough for them really to diagnose her properly and find out what was causing the seizures?
Epilepsy in itself can cause seizures. It's very hard to nail down exactly what part of the brain is causing it, and sometimes they can. And they will actually go into a child's head and cut out a section of that brain to try to cause the seizure.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
only works in 20% of the cases. And we certainly didn't want to work that with Amber.
Yes, 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 yes. And as you went through those times, what gave your family the faith? I mean, what held you together as a family?
A lot of prayer. A lot of prayer. And just doing what you can as a mother and a father for your child.
Mm-hmm.
It's your child, and you are responsible, and you want to be there, and you want to help her, and you want to bring her across. And that is what helped us, prayer and just digging in and saying, hey, we're going to fix this somehow.
And, you know, I like, Mr. Ross, I like what you said. You said Amber was a fighter, and they didn't know Amber. And you could look in your child's eyes and her body attitude and all of that, and although she was nonverbal, you could understand what she was saying, and you knew she was not giving up on life.
Absolutely. Amber still had one magnificent thing going for her. She'd look at you, she'd look straight in your eyes, and she would smile.
Wow.
That was the warmest feeling a dad or mom could get, just to look at her.
Yes.
And everything she's in, she smiled.
Mm-hmm. And that smile was telling you, don't worry, everything is going to be all right.
That's what she was saying. However, we had to try to do what we could do from our end.
Yes.
We learned about a diagnosis called the ketogenic diet, which is high-fat, low-carbohydrate diet that is used primarily to help control difficult seizures in children. And it seems to only work with children under the age of 18 with epilepsy. The diet is very hard to administer. As I've said, my wife had to quit work to stay home with Amber. And someone had made a movie, Jim Abrams, the director from Hollywood. He had made a movie because he also had a son named Charlie who, like Amber, was having difficulty with the seizures.
Mm-hmm.
He had learned about this ketogenic diet. It was invented in 1920 at the Johns Hopkins Hospital, and it had fallen out of favor with the doctors after 1941, when phenobarbital was invented. It was easier to give.
And I bet nobody was talking about it. And how did you get so blessed to learn about that diet?
At this time, I had to stop working for our family business and had to actually go and get another type of a job so that I could have a more steady timing.
Flexible time.
To be able to be put more time with Amber. My wife and I could divide up the time.
Right, right.
And I had a friend who told me he had seen a movie on TV, and
wow.
I should take a look at it. It was about Jim Abrams' son, and it was all about the ketogenic diet. And the name of the movie was First Do No Harm, starring Meryl Streep. It came out in 1997. And again, this time Amber is still having sometimes up to 22 seizures a day. So we were ready to try anything, Daphne.
Anything. So
yes.
That was like you win the lottery when your friend told you that.
Well, not quite. A lot of doctors have too much faith, I think, in the drugs.
Mm.
And we were told that by the Charlie Foundation. After we got in contact with them, they simply gave us some directions of how to start her on a diet, put us in contact with John Hopkins Hospital, and John Hopkins Hospital said, hey, sit your doctor down and teach him something.
Beautiful, beautiful. That is being bold. Wonderful.
Well, we're trying to do anything we can for our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We sent her doctor down. We talked to him 2 or 3 meetings until he finally, after my wife's relentless pounding on him, he finally said, okay, we will try the ketogenic diet.
Mm.
That
encompassed my Lord.
Having
you
Amber
know, I...
in the hospital for 3 days.
No, go ahead.
She had to fast for 3 days. When you fast, that puts your body in what you call a state of ketosis.
Mm-hmm.
So that your body is no longer burning fat. Your body is now, it's no longer burning fat. It's burning where you usually get your carbohydrates from.
Hydrate. Yes.
Yeah, and it was starting, you know, it was hard enough to start with that, and all the food had to be specially made. Everything had to have a high content of fat in it. It all had to be ground up. Again, Amber didn't have teeth at that time,
okay.
Or very little. And
right.
It had to be administered 3 times a day in her food.
Right. So she was getting regular diet, but that added to it?
She got that for, no, she her whole next 3 years, she ate only ketogenic diet food.
Okay.
We used to freeze it. When we went on vacation, we would take it with us. We took a cooler with us wherever we went so that Amber would have food if we went to a relative's house for a holiday.
You had to travel with that.
Absolutely. We took it with us, absolutely. After 3 years of the ketogenic diet, it was time for Amber to come off, and we crossed our fingers. Amber was down to 1 seizure a month.
My God, can you imagine if you had learned about this when she was a couple of months old?
Yes, it
oh,
would have been
what
fantastic. Well, what we did, Daphne, is we went back to her doctor again or during one of the checkups, and
mm-hmm.
We told him, that, hey, Dr. Jajur, isn't there some other way? We know there's other people out here like Amber, and can we help them with this ketogenic diet? He took the hard road. He went to Allegheny General Hospital's board. He battled for it, and he was able to set up a small program, which over the course of, I think it was a year, they did put 6 children on this, and I believe it did help 4 of them.
That was still a blessing. That was still a blessing. That was still
yeah.
a blessing. I want to remind the listeners, you can call in with any questions you have. You may do so by calling 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And my guest is Mr. Jim Ross. And if you're just joining us, he's speaking about his daughter, Amber, who was born and been diagnosed with epilepsy at an early age. So call in. I'm sure you have some questions. So she was down to one seizure a day, and they wanted her to take the phenobarbital?
Well, they changed it from phenobarbital down to another one that was nowhere near as strong as phenobarbital.
Mm.
So Amber was woke a lot more. And while she was woke, we didn't tell her that she would never be able to stand or never
right.
be able to walk. We would work on her legs so that she would be able to stand. We built
mm-hmm.
a little stander and hung it from the doorways in the house
yes.
so that Amber could stand and bounce and make her legs strong.
Strong. Wow.
She started making
wow.
them so strong that she actually had to have an operation to cut her hamstrings in her legs because they were getting a lot stronger than what her body could handle. So they had to kind of cut her hamstrings to make her, you know, to make her legs straight again because she was getting
mm-hmm.
too strong in her legs.
So at what age did the family realize that Amber was going to be wheelchair bound?
We were told that in probably her first year.
Okay.
But
okay.
we didn't believe. You don't
right.
believe that. You're the parent.
Still doing.
You go after.
Mm.
We told her, we're going to make you stand, young lady. We're going to make
Amazing.
You stand.
Believe.
Another
just
problem.
Just to believe and the support and her strength, because as you say, she would look directly in your eyes and she would smile.
Absolutely. And another problem we were coming at that time was her scoliosis. Her spine
mm.
was just, as she grew, her spine curvature, I believe, was turning more into a 30% curvature, and she was
okay.
actually to keep her head straight.
Wow. Wow.
So again, back with her strength, no one told Amber she couldn't do it. With her strength, she went back to the hospital, and she had an operation called spinal fusion with instrumentation.
Mm. And what does that entail? For the people who are listening and those who will listen later on, what does that surgery entail?
That entails them going into her back, straightening her spine out, and putting two stainless steel rods on each side of her spine to keep her
mm.
spine straight.
Straight.
She would
wow.
never be able to bend again from the waist up.
Mm-hmm,
however,
mm-hmm.
she was able to sit straight.
Wow.
So that
Amazing.
That was the operation, Daphne, lasted 6 hours.
Wow. And by
and
then,
we were
she was,
very,
how old was she now?
I believe at that time, Amber was, I think she was about 7 at that time.
Wow.
I think she was
wow.
7. 6-hour operation, and at
mm.
one point the doctor told us we almost lost her.
Wow. But as you said, she was a fighter, and she was determined. She was
Absolutely.
Determined to survive.
Absolutely. Afterwards, she was able to sit up straight. She was able to sit up without a bunch of pillows around her, because up until now, we could when you set her down on a sofa or anything, you had to prop pillows up around her.
Around her to support her.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm.
So now she can actually sit up. Yeah, you might need one pillow. But we didn't need a barrage
of pillows. A bunch of pillows. And during all these times when Amber was going through this illness and the surgeries and all of that, what was it like for her siblings?
They were very, very supportive, and they were at that time were teenagers, and
okay. They
just kind of, her brother threw himself into the sports, and he just started doing sports until he was actually the state long jump champion in Pennsylvania.
Mm.
Her sister, Crystal, she just threw herself into her, and she has a very high IQ, and she was put in special classes because of her high IQ, and she just threw herself into that.
Well, it was a blessing that they found extracurricular activities to occupy their time, because you and your wife having to spend so much time in the hospital, you know, you would, I'm sure you would have liked to be able to spend more time with the other two children, but you weren't able to give them as much. But thankfully, they found something that supplemented for the time that they were missing from both parents.
And Daphne, we still went on family vacations every year. We took Amber.
Oh, what a blessing.
All went on the vacation.
What a blessing. You know, I can relate so much with what you're saying, because I know a family here in Connecticut. One of the sons, she has a twin son, and one is special need and one is not, and then she has a daughter. And that's all the vacations she go on. She go on cruises and other trips and everything. And she says sometimes people are looking at her funny, but she makes sure she takes the entire family and let the son with the special needs, he's enjoying everything as his brothers and sister is enjoying as well. So at what age did Amber begin going to school?
Amber actually started school at 2.5 years old.
Oh.
She was one of the youngest children to start at that time Easter Seals for special needs children, and
yes. She
was actually 2.5.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So you spoke about Amber's smile. You spoke about Amber's when she was looking in your eyes or in anybody's eyes, she looked with such intent. So we know she was not able to walk. We know she wasn't able to sit up properly at some stage. We know she was not able to speak. But you knew she had some skills and talents. Let's talk about that part.
Amber's talents was, besides her big smile and her big laugh, Amber would try to stand up. If you put Amber on your knee and slid her down to her feet touch the floor and slowly, of course, you have to anchor her with your, you know, to make sure she doesn't fall.
Right.
But you put your knee out, Amber would stand because of all the standing that she had done earlier when we didn't tell her that she would never stand.
Right.
So she would be able to stand, and she'd look at you. And after a minute or two, she would collapse, but, you know, of course, you're right there to catch her and kiss her and tell her how such a great job.
Great job she did. Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. And I bet every day she attempted to do that, she stood up a little longer than the day before.
Absolutely. We got what you call a life gait, which is a lot of people have seen them. It's a contraption that actually suspends you in a harness so that your people...
I've never seen those.
Oh, okay. I have to send you a picture of one.
Mm-hmm.
And your feet touch the floor. However, we could, because she's in a harness, we could regulate
yes.
how much actual weight was put on her feet and on her legs. Her mother put her in this stander every day. Every day Amber was in her stander. Her mother got to the point where she started putting toys on the stander. So after a while, Amber had a bunch of toys that she could touch and she could look at and she could push off on the floor and she could play with on her stander because it had a tray on it also.
Was there any time during this process that you were ever told that you need to put your child in a special home?
I don't think anyone ever told us that because you could see the determination on my wife and I's face that that was not going to happen.
Beautiful.
Amber is our daughter.
Beautiful. Because I,
do that.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say for us, and it may not be true of everyone, but for us, that would have been giving up.
I know, because I was just about to say, had you not done that, I don't think you would have enjoyed Amber for as long as you did. Because I think too many people give up on their family members. You know, at one stage of my life, I worked in a group home with special needs, and some of the clients there, their family members aren't living too far away, and they don't even come to visit them. It's like they just put them away in those group homes. So I am always applauding families who stick by their loved ones and give them the unconditional love like you and Mrs. Ross did with Amber.
Oh,
so,
my wife has 9 brothers and sisters, and you could always count on one of her sisters coming past a weekend and spending time with us and helping out with Amber.
Beautiful. That's what it's all about, for family to support, because you know, it doesn't matter how devastating a challenge is that we are going through. When you have love and you have support, you are going to pull through. And I have no doubt that that is what helped you and your family to pull through. So we want to talk about some of the things Amber was engaged in when she started going to school and began getting older.
Amber would go to school, and she would, if, at this time, she went to a school in Pittsburgh before we moved to Florida, where I reside now. Mm. And at this school, Amber was with other special needs children. They would draw pictures. They would meet animals. They would bring parrots in, bring rabbits in, let the children feel the rabbits, feel the parrots. They went on bowling expeditions in a wheelchair, and I never knew this. They make a rack so that someone like Amber in a wheelchair can actually bowl.
Wow. Isn't that something?
It was excellent.
Something?
Amber had a good life in her schooling. They taught her a lot.
She was enjoying these activities when she was going, right?
Most 90% of the time, Amber enjoyed them. And then, as any child, sometimes she just roll her eyes at you.
And I guess that means get me out of here, right?
That's what it meant. That's what, sometimes in school, she would just go to sleep because she didn't feel like being bothered today. Not very often, but teachers would let us know when she would go to sleep.
Oh, this is it. I mean, I can't tell you, so I'll just go to sleep. I've had enough.
Exactly.
Enough. So.
Especially when she got in those teenage years, every once in a while the teacher would tell us, oh, she's acting like a teenager today.
That's right. She's not speaking, but she is still a teenager. So I want to talk about the special items that you decide to turn into Amba's legacy. And I want to talk about the first time that the idea came to your mind and what sparked that idea.
Well, Daphne, one of Amber and I's most favorite things to do was to go to the store, and her and I could just shop, not the heavy weekly food shopping, but we would go to either one of the department stores or the Dollar Tree, and her and I could walk around the Dollar Tree for an hour or two, and her and I would look at things, and we would purchase some things. And if you've ever shopped with a child in a wheelchair, you know there's no place to put anything.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely
right.
Not.
Yes, I took some reusable shopping bags, and I would put them on the back of the chair.
Mm-hmm.
One day, Daphne, Amber came home with a picture that she had made in school, and her and I decided it was the most beautiful picture in the world, and we were getting ready to go shopping. So I took that picture, and I stapled it to one of our bags, and we went shopping. And one of the ladies that knew us at the store said, oh, is that one of Amber's pictures? And Amber turned and smiled.
Wow, that was saying yes.
Absolutely. She was proud of that picture. So,
wow.
Unfortunately, after one or two times, the picture fell off. So I started taping other pictures on the bags that Amber would bring home from school. Then I worked up to pictures of her doggy. She had a doggy named Snoopy, who was a beagle.
Uh-huh.
I put his picture on the bag. And we kept working our way on up. I started putting the grandkids' pictures with duct tape, Daphne. I used duct tape to put them on the bag. Amber and I went shopping, and we had a good time with our bags, and we would get our stuff, and she would show people her picture of her of Snoopy or whatever else it was on the bag.
And at what stage did you realize, man, this is more than something I'm putting on with duct tape? When did you realize that?
Oh, I guess about the time, I think I had two or three people ask me, what is that? And how are you, why are you carrying those bags in there?
Wow.
And I just told them, well, it's my daughter's artwork, or it's my grandkid's picture. You know, Daphne, as a Walgreens manager, every once in a while I was asked to walk an older lady out to her car and carry out that 24-pack of water that we always sold.
Right.
I would walk her out. She would open the trunk of her car, and in her trunk of her car there were 10 reusable shopping bags, and she's still standing there with two new plastic ones in her hands.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, if I put her grandkids' pictures on a bag to carry those
she's
bags.
She's going to be proud.
Absolutely. And she's going to take it in the store. It's not going to be in the trunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she wants people to ask her, oh, where did you get that bag? And she said, oh, it's my grandchild.
Exactly. Exactly. So I started, for some friends and family, putting whatever they picture they wanted on a bag. We started getting a few bags, and I started getting feedback from them. They
loved it. What were some of the feedbacks you were getting?
Well, most of the feedback was we had to find a certain size bag because some bags were too big to carry other bags, too sloppy, and some bags were entirely too small to carry other interior bag. Amber and I started hunting for another bag size that will carry perhaps two or three or four bags and be the right size. Another feedback that we were getting from the family was, like my daughter-in-law, she would say, "Well, Dad, I keep forgetting to take it back to the car." So Amber and I worked on that problem.
How did you resolve that problem?
Well, the bag looks nice, so I can leave the bag anywhere in the house. Where I chose to leave it at is I would leave the bag right where I put my car keys, and I took a carabiner and clipped my car keys to the bag. I went back out to the car the next morning. The bag went with me. I could throw it in the back seat, and it was in the car.
Wow. Wow. And now, when you started this project, how old was Amber now?
When we started the bags, Amber was probably about 15.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And I hope that people are listening and that you had a 2 pound 5 ounces baby. When you took her home, she weighed 5 pounds. And I hope people are following the trend of this story and to see what faith and persistence and belief has brought this family. Because although it was not easy, this family never gave up hope. You never gave up hope. So I'm encouraging you. I know there are people out there that have questions. I want you to call 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166. And we accidentally dropped the call, Mr. Ross. Accidentally dropped off. I pray he will call us back. And it's amazing how things will happen to us, and so long as you remain focused, you will succeed in whatever happens to you. I am going to try and call. All right, he's back. I'm glad he got to call us back. So call in right now. Thank you, Mr. Ross. I noticed you got dropped off and you called back. Thank you so much for calling back. Is this
Thank
Mr.
you.
Ross?
Yes,
okay.
Yes it is.
Right. So you said Amber was 15 when you started the bag. You know, and you know what I like? During this entire conversation, there was not one time when you said you did or your wife did. All that you accomplished was done in agreement and collaboration with Amber. When you started manufacturing these bags, and what was some of the expression you were getting? Was Amber ever able to type on the computer to speak or no?
No, Amber was never able to type on the computer to speak, although she had, after we moved to Florida, been making very, very good progress.
Mm-hmm.
She was still not that progressed.
Mm-hmm.
Her and I were still spending a lot of our time in the game room where we would play toys. We watch a lot of TV, a lot of the True Jackson with Kiki Palmer, Victorious, and iCarly, because she was a teenager now, so she had to watch Teen Nick. And her and I would work on some bags and watch TV. And in general, we would just love to be around each other.
And you said you and Amber work on the bags. What were some of the activities that Amber was able to do?
Basically, Amber was my chief inspector.
Ah.
Her and I would come up with, I would basically come up with something, and then I would hand it to her, let her play with it, let her throw it down, let her see if it worked. Did the picture stay on? Did the key pull out? Right, right. So she was my number one inspector.
All right, now, quality.
Her main job.
She was in charge of quality control, right?
Absolutely. She wanted the bag to be the best it can. We went through five different bags till we got to the bag that you see on the website today.
So every prototype that you created, you allow Amber to use it and test it out. And then you were able to determine the durability of them.
Absolutely.
This is such a phenomenal story, because how many people would say, all right, I'm not just going to take control and create the bags. I want my child to have an input in that. Not too many families, because people have kids that are normal, kids that do not have special needs, and they won't even sit the kids down and have a conversation. More so to have a child with special need that you include 100% in something that you are creating.
And more parents today should do, like you said, get that cell phone out of their hand for a minute and talk with your child.
Exactly, exactly. And because, I mean, I remember, you know, growing up, I did not have a lot. But the one thing we had, we always talked. My mom, my dad, and I, we were always talking, you know, especially around evening time. We didn't have a big fancy house and all of that. You know, there was two chairs. My mom was sitting on one, my father was sitting on one, and I was sitting on the edge of the bed. But we were all talking. Now there are so many gadgets and everything that the parents do not have a conversation with the children. And I think that's one of the reasons why we are losing our children. So we need to get them more engaged. So, you know, I want to fast forward a little bit. And you took us through that journey with Amber. I have no doubt in saying that Amber had a productive life, and you gave her and your wife and the rest of the family gave her so much love, and she was able to function. However, as we speak today, Amber is no longer with us. You want to lead us up to that time and what happened?
Yes. Amber, we moved to Florida in 2006, Amber was doing very well at her special needs school, Oak Park School, here in Florida. She was gaining weight, something she hadn't done for years. She was doing her physical therapy very good, making better pictures and paintings. And, you know, she was doing great. And then one day, her and I were just sitting on the sofa having dinner, and Amber had a seizure, which, again, she's only having one a month, if that now.
Mm-hmm.
That was all. Amber gained her angel status at that point.
Mm. And did she ever had to go back on that diet once you took her off? She never went back?
No. Once she was off of it, she never went back on it. And she never had to go on any stronger drugs,
medication,
like that cinnabarbital.
So that diet, it's not something that you continue on. It's like a boot camp. You just take it for a certain period of time, until it modify your seizure, and then you can go back to your regular diet.
You do it for 2 to 3 years, depending on what the doctor, as the doctor is monitoring you, her.
Okay.
To 3 years.
Mm.
You know,
wow.
Daphne, I would like to also say that once Amber passed away, of course, my wife and I both were, you know, in quite of a funk, if that's the correct procedure to say. But
I can't imagine.
Amber, one day, about 4 months later, something came to me and said, Daddy, start working on those bags again.
So when Amber passed, you stopped. You threw in the towel?
I threw in the towel on everything.
Wow.
Everything. I was ready to give up.
However, she came
to me. She told me, Daddy, work on those bags.
Oh, my heavens.
Who can I get to make the bags? I priced a couple of people. It was entirely too high. She told me again, Daddy, I'll make them.
That's her spirit is talking to you now?
That was her spirit talking to me. I went to a place here in Sarasota called Community Haven for adults and children with disabilities.
Yes.
I talked to their director, a gentleman by the name of Brad Jones, and said, hey, Brad, is there any way that we can get these bags assembled here? He did a little study, and he says, yes, Jim, I can have my exceptional adults assemble these bags for you.
So do you realize that when Amber said, when her spirit told you, I will make them, she was saying that the adults with special needs would be the ones that make that bag?
That's what it led me to. That's exactly what it led me to.
Oh, my heavens. This is amazing. This is amazing. And, you know, Mr. Ross, there is too many times when people are disobedient to a dream or a vision or an inclination that they would get. But people just need to be obedient because, I mean, you could have been so macho that you didn't want to go there. Because most men aren't going out there telling people, oh, you know, my daughter's spirit spoke to me. Oh, no, that's not something that men do.
If you're a real father and it's in your heart for your child, you'll say anything.
That's true. So when you shared what happened, that visit with Amber, when you shared it with other people, they were thinking you were losing your head?
Well, they give me a second steer sometimes. Yes, they would.
Yeah, they're looking, Jimmy's gone off the rockers. No, he's taking this harder than I thought he would.
Well, I'll tell you, Daphne, for the first ones, I said, hey, give me a picture. Let me make you a bag. And I would take it up there. The adults would make it. They started painting them. They started making pictures on them for me.
Mm.
Similar to the ones I used to staple on Amber's bag years ago.
Uh-huh.
And they started drawing pictures on them.
So let me ask you something, Mr. Ross. The bags that we have on the event now, and people, if you look on Facebook on the event, you will see the bags. I was visiting with a family today, and I was showing them the bag on the site, and she said, oh, my God, these are beautiful. You're telling me now that the bags that we are now looking at, Amber was not blessed to see them before she transitioned? This creation came after she passed on?
She saw the very first raw ones.
Wow.
She did not see the ones that the adults with disabilities paint now.
Wow.
She didn't see the ones with the limited edition prints from the Tampa facility that makes
mm-hmm.
them. She didn't see any of those.
Wow, but you know, she's seen every last one of them now, because I have no doubt that she's inspiring the people that are painting these bags and making, because what she says, I will make them. And she is visiting every last one of those adults that is doing this.
Yes, she is. She's quite a gal.
I'm telling you. So, you know, right now as you look back on the legacy that you have created, how do you feel? And what message do you have for families with special needs, adults or children?
The message I have for families with special needs children is, first, God bless you. Second, never, ever give up. Third, embrace that child, because there is so much love there. Love will turn everything around.
Oh, yes, that is so true. That is so true. That is so. And, you know, if you could pick out some lessons that you have learned during all of this process, what would those lessons be?
The lessons would be that, number one, no. You can still surpass what they say. The lessons would be that as long as you give the love and make them smile, they're going to go to school. They're going to aspire. They're going to create. They're going to do everything. They may not be able to walk. They may not be able to talk. They may not have all of their limbs, but they do have the faith.
Mm-hmm.
They have the faith.
Is there anything else before I have you give out your contact information? Is there anything else you would like to share with the listeners that I did not ask you before? Is there anything you want to tell them?
Well, the only thing that I would like to tell them is Amber's legacy is, because she loves this world so much, she wants us to take care of it. One plastic bag at a time. Get rid of those plastic bags. Use your reusable bags because they don't clog up the landfills.
Yes.
Do that. And this will be a much, much better world that she is leaving. This is her way of helping to clean up the planet.
You know, there could be no better message to tell all of us, because, you know, there's a saying in Jamaica that, you know, it's not the same day that the leaf fall in the pond that it rots, but it certainly rot one day. And this, I turn around to say, if we keep doing things that is damaging to our environment, right now we might not see it as anything else, but as our children's 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 come around, there is not going to be an environment, a healthy environment for them to enjoy. So I want you to listen to that. And I want, for those who have a question, the people in the chat room, thank you for joining us. You can call in your the number to call is 646-915-8166. And I want to thank Mr. Jim Russ for coming on and for sharing his daughter's legacy. And I can see that they are so proud of Amber and what she has accomplished. As a matter of fact, not only in life, but in death too, because she's still inspiring her father to carry on. I mean, yes, I went on, but my name live on, and here is what you can do. And she is making sure that she's still in charge of quality control, and she's still engineering all the designs that is come out. I want you to take this time and tell people how they can reach you and where they can see the bags and support your cause.
Well, you can go on the internet and go to AmbersSmile, that's two S's, .com. Or you can give us a call at 877-660-2173. On our website at AmbersSmile, we have a fundraising page. If you have, because these bags are primarily sold as fundraising instruments, so that people can put their logo on it. They can put their company logo on it. They can put their organization's logo on it. And they can sell the bag because they've been sold as as fundraisers. It's My Beautiful Bag Shopping Systems, and that'll help reinforce their branding and marketing effects. And if they do that, they will make money for their organization. They're providing a good service to keep plastic bags out of the landfills. They're keeping adults with disabilities. And right now we have three locations in Florida here that we assemble the bags at: Lark Incorporated in Fort Myers, Community Haven in Sarasota, and McDonald's Training Center in Tampa. And we are keeping these adults with disabilities working. And we want to go nationwide in it now.
Wonderful, wonderful. So you can visit AmbersSmiles.com, right?
AmbersSmile.com. Take
right.
a look at it. We have a lot of bags there, a lot of different categories. Some hand-painted ones, the original artist ones, and some with just pictures on it. So you take a look, and we can all save the planet.
There's one more thing. So did you keep any of Amber's pictures that you are still putting onto these bags?
Yes, of course.
Okay, all right. So we want to make sure that you still have those. Well, Mr. Ross, I want to thank you for taking the time out to come and share Amber's story with us and the rest of the world. I hope this would be very insightful for others who will listen and give them courage and hope to know that no matter what, you can come out a winner. Do you have any closing thoughts before you go?
The only thought I have is I thank you so much, Daphne, for letting us express ourselves. I thank you so much and your audience for taking the time to listen. And if you want to make some money for your fundraising organization or cause, please go online and let us help.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and continue the good work, Mr. Ross.
Thank you, Daphne. You have a good day.
Thank you very much, sir. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
My pleasure.
All right. That was Mr. Jim Ross, and he was sharing his daughter's story, his daughter's legacy. And you can download that show and share it with everybody and listen to it over and over again, because I know you will be encouraged by it.
AMD Law Group is an international law practice committed to assisting you in realizing your strategic business goals. Led by Ms. Aurelia Mitchell Durant, Senior Managing Partner, AMD Law specializes in international business, international intellectual property, and general internet law. We also support organizations in resolving corporate compliance issues. Addressing the legal needs of technology firms and other businesses serving both domestic and international markets, we are uniquely positioned to assist both startups and long-established organizations. Although AMD seeks to proactively avoid litigation wherever possible, we are fully capable and ready to litigate on your behalf. AMD Law Group. Find us online at amdlawgroup.com or contact us at 347-699-4AMD. That's 347-699-4263. Let us help you pursue and protect your dreams.
Okay, so protect your stuff, call up the attorneys, and have a conversation, because too often we leave our intellectual properties out there, and before you know it, people are using it, and then it's going to be too late. And we have 19 minutes remaining, and if there's anybody out there who still wants to call in to talk about the conversation we had with Mr. Jim Ross, you can do so, but I feel led to just tie up the remainder of the show with, talking about legacies, and ask each of my listeners and supporters to examine your life. What are you doing with your life? You know, what you are doing. I mean, you do not need to be someone who is experiencing any special needs to create a legacy, especially if you are a small business owner or you're an entrepreneur. And as a matter of fact, even if you are working a job, are you examining what you're doing, how you're doing it, and why you are doing it? And are you conducting yourself in a way that you are creating a legacy? Because how many times you go into a company and you hear somebody would say, oh, my heavens, we miss John so much, or we miss Delores so much. And they are being missed because of the way they conducted themselves on the job, the way they did it. They took responsibility for what they were doing. So when they were no longer there, they were missed. That's their legacy right there. But some of us have more profound legacies that we create that impacts the world. So I am asking you this question. What is your legacy? What is your legacy? And we have 16 minutes remaining. I want you to call in and tell me, what's your legacy? Have you thought about it? Are you right now working on your legacy? So call in 646-915-8166 and let me hear from you. Part of my legacy is to create a world where all the people is empowered, where nobody is pointing blames, and everybody takes responsibility for the outcomes in their lives. There are too many people pointing fingers and say, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that because of the color of my skin or because of my sexual orientation, because of my gender. All those are excuses. So look in your life. You know, this is the time when each and every one of us needs to inspect what we are doing. You know, do we have a business? Each and everything we do in this life, if we are only doing it to benefit ourselves, we are going about it in the wrong way. Everything that we do in this life needs to benefit somebody else. It needs to affect somebody else's life. You cannot get up every day and say, I'm going to do something because I make a lot of money doing it. It comes a time when the money is not going to be enough. Are you finding joy and happiness in what you do? You heard Mr. Ross spoke about Amber's smile. He said that when she would look intently in your eyes, here was a young woman who was not able to speak, but she would look intently in the eyes of her family members, even when she was going through organizing time. She was going into the hospital for surgery. She was being propped up in the chairs with cushions and pillows. Yet she had a smile on her face that was contagious. How many of us who we are able to walk, we are able to talk, we are able to bathe ourselves, we can just move about and go about our business and do the things that we are able to do. How many of us someone can look at and say, well, oh, every day I see Daphne, she's happy, or every day I see Daphne, she's smiling. We have so much to be happy for, yet we do not take the time to embrace and enjoy those times. If you are someone who is listening, whether you're listening live or on the archive, and if you find yourself in that situation, I ask that you change that and turn it around. Each and every day you wake up, be happy. You and I, we must create our own happiness. Find joy in every bit of air that you breathe. Know that each day when you wake up, it's not an entitlement, but it's a blessing that you get the opportunity to enjoy life today. And you don't know whether you'll have it for the end of the day, so why not? We have a caller, and I will take the caller. Good evening, caller. You're three first digits are 770. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Yes, my name is Rick Russ, and I'm calling from right outside of Atlanta, Georgia. And,
hello, Mr. Russ.
And, yes, ma'am.
Do you have
Daphne?
Yes.
Yes, I'm Jim's brother, and I'm
hello,
vice president of
you?
Business development for Amber Smile, and I was just listening to how, you know, Jim, when he, you know, when he was starting to work with Amber about the bags, and then as it started to become a small business, that's when she had passed, and she's never seen the fully developed bags that have been finished and assembled by the adults with disabilities in either of the locations, but she did have parts in inspiring ways of trying to inspire us to keep this thing moving. So I joined Jim, I believe, in January of last year at his startup of the official Amber Smile. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like going into Community Haven. That's where I know that I started it at last year. I went through it down with Jim. And you go into the facility, and you have these adults and their developmental disabilities, but they feel you as, you know, they're real people that do things, and they're proud to do something, but they talk just as normal as me or you, other than some kind of altered speaking, but they're right there with you. I mean, you know, as you talk to them, they tell you they have some ailments, and they just deal with it, and they work, and they're glad to be doing some things, and it's just a beautiful thing to know that you can make a difference in somebody's life, and they would love to their product to go out. And then they started making a few mistakes on some bags, but then we had one of the adults was an artist, so she would draw pictures over of them, and we would call them the masterpieces. So it's really nice to see. And I visited also when I was in March. I visited Jim, and I went to the facility in Tampa. And she gave me a tour of the place that they do other products at also, and they have the special room for Amber Smile. And that was a McDonald's training center in Tampa, Florida. I stopped through there, and she spent an hour with me, the lady who's in charge of that project there. And, you know, it's amazing how not only does she's the director of a program there, she has to educate the, not educate them, but show them what they have to do, the adults. And then,
right,
you know, it's
yes.
not just like running a company like your Ford Motor Company and, you know,
exactly.
workers come in and just work on the line and they leave. Here, she has to deal with the developmental disabilities. She has to deal with not only them getting some production work done, and it may be of any amount, doesn't matter. You know, really they're able to do, that's the work they can do. And she
and
really was a good manager for them, and it's a lot more than just working in a factory or something. These
exactly.
adults here, they're gathered around. Everybody has a different element, but I'm going to tell you something. They're all in one spirit, and you can feel in the room that it is very, it's a very different place, and
mm-hmm.
they're proud just about any progress of anything, but
mm-hmm.
there's quite a few that are quite productive also that also just blend right in. They understand the needs of their co-people that help them, co-workers.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
some of them may have more flexibility, and some of them might not. But the spirit that goes around, you know, they're really, really inspiring to watch them do some work and to take instructions.
You know, I
and
you
then
know,
I visited also when I was down there in March. I went to the that was called Lark Industries down in Lark Inc. down in Fort Myers, Florida. That's another assembly shop for Amber Smile. And it's starting up also. And I spent some time down there, and we even took some video footage there just of it being natural. I'm going to tell you, you know, they were glad not only to be doing some work, but they were glad to talk about whatever they're dealing with. And, they, you know, they'll tell you their co-worker, oh, he has that also. But you know what? We get along with it pretty good. You know, they'll talk to you. They go to work, and they feel good, and you know, these are the same people that would have went to school where Amber went to school at, and when you become 20 years old, 21 years old, you have to leave the school and go to a community shelter workshop or either educational. There's still, you know, ongoing training and different things for people with community behavior. They do a lot for the adults and the children with disabilities.
Right.
But it was good that I went down and visited, and then went to the community haven also, and we were there, I believe, with Ted. Ted was in town, and he was at community haven just to talk to him about the facility and what they're doing there. I just love to see it. I mean, it's a lot of work, and believe me, their work doesn't go unnoticed. So
yeah, but it's rewarding, and what people have to understand, it only takes a little bit more love and patience to work with people with special needs. And even I want to piggyback on something you said about them making a mistake on a bag. To me, there is no mistake in art, because what you view as one mistake is what another artist finds as a treasure. So each piece comes out unique in its own way, because there's going to be somebody that loves that one with that little extra mark where it was not created for you because you don't have that keen eye to see that. But each piece is unique to the artist that produces it.
Yeah. You know, what I was talking about was when, like, one of the logo, it might be a little corner or something. But what would happen is the artist would paint over top of something that might have been Williams Printing logo, but it was a mistake there. But they would paint over top of it. You would never know it was a mistake. So that became the artwork you were talking about.
Exactly,
they created bags
that
have their own artwork on there, and they're listed on
the
website. And you can
mm-hmm.
go to shop now and go in the left column there. They're listed on the website there. You can
mm-hmm.
go through them. They're all hand-painted originals. And believe me, like you said, it's just like just very unique, and it doesn't take a whole lot to try to make something perfect, because they're making it their way, and it's really the colors we notice blend really good and
mm-hmm.
kind of makes you get a hold of the bag. In other words, when you look at those prints that's on there, some of them are, the ones that are hand-painted or original hand-painted, and you can just feel the colors that they use. Between the colors and what it is, you can almost see what they were trying to make. And then the colors just blend in. I mean, that's one thing you'll notice, you know. So make sure you check
that,
it out.
You know, because these things are created with a lot of love, people who buys it, they are supporting something amazing. So I want to thank you, Mr. Russ, for taking the time to call in about your niece's legacy. And I applaud the entire family for carrying on. I know that many people will listen to this story and they will share it with others, and it will give them encouragement to continue because, you know, we all are dealt lemon in our lives, and we can make lemonade if we choose, or we can just sit and look at the lemons and let them rot. I am so excited that your family, you are making lemonade for the rest of the world, and I just pray that you will find joy and satisfaction in here, and this legacy will go on for many, many years to come.
I like those words, Daphne. Thank you so much for having me, and listening to your whole presentation was truly, truly wonderful. And I just want to thank you.
Thank you so very much, Mr. Ross, for calling in, and continue the good work.
Okay, and I'm going to continue to listen to your show.
Okay, thank you. Please come back again.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Yes, so that was Mr. Jim Ross's brother calling in from Atlanta to share the sentiments of what his brother and the rest of the family is doing. That is indeed a project of love where all the family members are getting together and to make sure Amber's smile continues, and that young woman has an infectious smile. You can look on her picture on the event site there and on the radio site. She had an infectious smile, and I know that her spirit is smiling down on this project that they have created to help many, many, many other people with special needs. And as her spirit said to her daddy, "Daddy, get up, work on the bags, work on the bags." And when her father said, I just couldn't get it done, what she said, "I will make them. I will make them." The universe is amazing. You know, the universe always comes through for us. What is it that you need in life that you are trying to take control of? Let it go. Let it go. Let go and let God, because he's so faithful. He is so faithful. I just pray that this episode has ignited something inside of you. And if you have not yet done so, I pray that you will find your legacy. Start working on it. You don't necessarily need to complete it. But once you start working on your legacy, somebody else will continue it. I want to remind you that you were called for a destiny. Don't allow anyone or anything to prevent you. Stay blessed, and I'll see you on Sunday. Thank those of you on your computers, on your smartphones, on other telephones, and also in the chat room. I want to thank you all for listening, and be sure to share this episode with many others so that they can follow their dreams.
What's the plan that you have for me? The place you've called me to be. Some people call it destiny. Will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to?
the thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?